seems to me that this whole thing of blood money, shared blood money, kind of like this stuff like psychological together. This is kind of a trend with. So I'm speaking with John Byers and Earth Driver, two of the three founders of the N Category Cafe. And let me just get my notes down. Okay, I'm sitting here with Earth Driver and John Byers, two of the three founders of the N Category Cafe. Research mathematics blog on categories, mathematics, and physics. Can you just maybe tell us a bit about each of your personal point of view about the history of the blog and how it came to be created?
First, you go first and see, and that's off the blog there.
Yeah, I talked about this before already yesterday, but I might just repeat some things. Is that okay? So I guess similarly to John, I had a long time ago that urge to communicate to other people on the web for various reasons, mainly because I used to be at places where I didn't have that many people to talk to that I wanted there. So I first started using the news group as the research at the time when it was there.
So what?
In the traditional days, how do you say it? I mean, it changed its character. Yeah, it was very active. And John was replying to almost every second post of everybody. Everybody was talking to John. It was very, I learned a lot. It's only slightly existed better as I say that I learned more from scientific research than I did at university. At least more about, you know, where to read more and stuff like that. Anyway, so that helped me a lot.
Why did you go to start the physical research in the first place? I mean,
At that time it was more than it was the only thing it was,
I mean, obviously, were your friends doing that? I mean, even at that stage, it was quite new, essentially, to be spending time on the internet learning about your subject.
Learning maybe, but I mean, newsgroups had been, at that time, newsgroups was the only thing that was concerning these kinds of discussions then, but I was reading various newsgroups. And then I got interested in physics more and more. Anyway, so at some point, it just didn't help me that much anymore as it used to. For two reasons, I guess. My personal needs changed, and also the characters in this group changed when John left as a moderator thing, and some other people came in who shouldn't have come in, maybe. Anyway, so, I was crazy enough to start a PhD on which was supposed to be related to string theory without any string theorists around to talk to, which is the craziest thing I've ever done in my life, I guess. I can't recommend it. Don't try this at home. So I thought, okay, I need some string theorists to talk to. There's no string theory in your school, so let's create one. It was a complete failure that didn't work. So anyway, in the process of creating such a string, somehow Jack Crislaw learned from our efforts to create this group. And
Or even the new school possible.
We created that new school which never really took off. So and then Jack said, okay, I'm using a blog, so if you like, I'll create a blog for you, and I said, that is great. I think it was Robert telling we were looking for a name for it, and Robert had, I said something that should be about like discussions one has over coffee, and so Robert Helling said, oh, let's call it the same coffee today, I guess. And then Jack said, I mean, the next moment it was created, and and you can see if you just go to the archives of the thing, so everybody was sending a first message, and then most of them it was the last message, it was just me posting things there,
Okay. How long did this thing copy table last?
It still exists, but I stopped talking to it as soon as the category thing was created.
Okay, so but was it 2 years? I mean, when did from the beginning until in category cafe? Essentially?
Oh, I'm not sure.
You can't remember.
I never can remember dates. Okay. Yeah, maybe almost 2 years.
Something like 2 years, roughly. But you can check it up.
Okay.
I don't know.
Right. So what happened was this? I kept posting things to this because I was just writing down whenever I had some idea or something. I thought I would like to share, but few people actually, I guess, nobody would read it. And but John at that time had a great discussion with David Caulfield on David Caulfield.
Right. The client geometry.
Yeah, I got. Yeah, so David Caulfield had his blog, and not too many people were posting comments to that. Just people hadn't found out about it, and so I partially just sort of helped it out.
Right.
And so we got then quite a big discussion that going on that particular topic of categorifying client geometry. And it was a fun example of actually doing research on a blog. And then I guess somehow you noticed that.
Yeah, I tried to, so you two were discussing things very intensively, and I was looking at it. I think I didn't get quite that much time that you did, so I just tried to follow along and make a comment here and there, and I found it very hard to follow that discussion because of that very interesting web technology used there. It was hard to see which older comments were referred to, because there was no way to, that's very hard to, if you follow the discussion, somebody said, oh, yeah, I told you, like, 3 comments about it.
Yeah.
And I remember one day I was walking home in Hamburg, and I somehow felt sick that one, and then I had this idea, I said, why don't we have a new blog where we discuss this thing? And I think, before I even went home, I went to an internet cafe, so I don't know, I wrote an email to John and said, right, I said, would you mind if I ask Jack or somebody if they set up a blog?
We don't even have internet at home.
Oh, in Hamburg, I just said, see, I still live in another city.
Okay, all right.
With my
okay.
So I have a very small place in Hamburg.
Okay.
It doesn't even have a telephone. Because I just work there.
I see.
Yeah.
So I had been feeling dissatisfied too, because I always like having a big conversation going on around me, and I like to talk a lot, and I like to show off and have a lot of people watching what I'm saying. And so I've been doing that on PsyDotPhysics.research for several years and attracted quite a crowd of people, and it was a lot of fun for a while. But then it fell apart in various ways that I don't want to
say too much. Crackpots or
I don't want to go into it. It has to do with all sorts of things.
Okay.
And you can look at, you can actually read it and see.
Okay.
And so I've, in addition to all those things, being a moderator took a lot of work. So, I mean, the discussing physics is fun, but there's also some other stuff that's not so fun, like being an administrator. When my wife moved to the same side of the country as me, I had less time than I did before, and I started getting more grad students and being able to talk about things to them, and that seemed more productive than talking to people who didn't really do anything with the information. And so I quit in 2002, I think, being a moderator. And then blogs, and as I said, that was around the time when I continued doing writing this week's fine, but that's sort of different. It's not a conversation.
Right.
Exactly. And then, well, that was around the time when blogs were just getting going, becoming very popular. And I started getting more dissatisfied when I would occasionally read people refer to me as Don by the proto-blogger, one of the first people to
I've read about
the blog.
Is that really on the internet somewhere? Or?
Yeah, that's right. And I've been introduced to talks that way. And, I mean, it's, of course, it's very, very honor, and I think it is true that in some sense, this
is fun. That referring to this week's fun?
Yeah, this week's fun, it just wasn't a blog,
yeah.
But it was a kind of but it's a kind of regular discussion of what I'm learning and doing, and it was so in the sense of predecessor to blogs, but without the technology for people to answer easily.
Right.
So I started getting a little frustrated about being called a proto blogger. I was joking. I felt like being introduced as like a Homo erectus. I was a very smart for his time. Stone tool. Makes you feel sort of old.
And so you thought the time had come.
So I almost thought, they want to just be remembered as someone who was ahead of his time once upon a time. So I sort of wanted to start a blog, but my main example I had of a science or physics blog were Peter White's Not Even Wrong,
right,
and Lubos Modell's blog. And both of those are quite combative.
Yeah.
A lot of arguing going on.
I see.
And that's part of exactly why I didn't want to be moderating Sci-Fi Physics research anymore. So I didn't. I thought, oh, I don't want to start a blog. Yeah. I'll be back into being a moderator again, and each day I'll wake up and see a bunch of nasty email replies to what I say on my blog. So I didn't like that. But the idea of both Earth, so I knew what Earth's blog was like. I knew what David's blog was like. Neither of them had that kind of flaming on them. So I thought, so on Earth suggested it. And I thought, oh, that would be maybe possible, just that it would maybe work without becoming unpleasant.
It wasn't a flying through the sky. You didn't immediately take it up. It was something that you kind of...
I'd been thinking about it. And then when he mentioned it, I didn't immediately say yes. I asked a whole bunch of questions because I'd been thinking about it and worrying about it. So I wanted to know, could you run it in a way that only people you allow would make comments? Because I thought that maybe that would be necessary to keep it polite. And I've been thinking... It turned out not to be.
Okay.
But I had been thinking at the time that it would be necessary to do that, or might be. So they said, yes, you could do that. And they said, yes, you can also turn off comments on any particular thread if you want. You can also delete comments pretty easily. So I thought, okay, there's probably enough safeguards in place that I could risk it. But I was pretty nervous at first that I would have to do a lot of work.
Right.
And so we started it up, and it's one of the main good things about it is that there really has been very, very little flinging. Not none, but very little.
Okay.
And I'm very merciless about just deleting any comments that are hostile, and I think that helps.
So physics, math, and philosophy seem as sort of a strange combination.
Not to me. They're just the same thing.
The same thing.
We're trying to understand the universe.
Do you think they work together on the blog? I mean, do you think that there are some math people who only listen to the math things and some philosophy people who only do the philosophy things?
There's certainly people who do... You listen to the math, then maybe the physics, but don't listen to the philosophy. I was rather upset when Jim Stasha, who I like a lot, posted to the topology mailing list saying, "You guys know there's this blog called the N Category for Cafe. You should check it out. Unfortunately, there's a bunch of philosophy you have to wade around." But then I discovered later that he knows nothing at all about philosophy because he was asking my opinion about some complete crackpot philosophy. And he didn't seem to know the difference between that and what David was doing, which makes me more nervous. But anyway, so not everyone has a taste for philosophy.
I must say that the kind of philosophy that David is writing about is completely different from what I usually associate with the current philosophy.
Right.
I mean, what I would like to call philosophy, but I also have, I mean, before, maybe you might have heard me say something similar like the professor did, that I don't want to, read all this philosophy stuff.
It's
completely uninteresting, but I was surprised how much I actually gained from
very relevant
reading David's comments.
I really enjoy them a lot. What's really fascinating is that on the one hand, I think he's the philosopher of mathematics who knows the most about mathematics of any whom I've met, so I can actually sophisticated topics, and he'll come up with good ideas. But on the other hand, he's not at all the analytic philosophy, meaning philosophy that tries to act like it's mathematics, philosophy that tries to mathematically analyze concepts. In fact, he's very much opposed
to that.
Instead, when he's talking about the philosophy of mathematics, he's very concerned about the sociology of mathematics and how people interact and how you can do mathematics well and things like that, instead of trying to say, make up Greek theorems about philosophy like that, that some people actually try to do. I mean, I can get anything very useful out of that.
So recently I've heard about some other similar blogs planted by Clifford Johnson and Think Theory and so on. Can you say anything about the philosophy of your blog which might, you know, distinguish it from the philosophy of other possible blogs out there? And,
I don't know of any other. Well, I shouldn't say this. I don't know. Clifford Johnson's blog, isn't it more sort of expository? The main ones I read, besides Not Even Wrong, are this one called Cosmic Variance that has a number of people. Who are all those?
Sean Carroll.
The other people.
Johnson used to be a member of them.
Okay.
No longer, you see, I don't know.
Okay, so maybe it's been moved out,
And Mark Johnson?
Yeah, this is bad. Anyway.
These are the real physics or cosmologists and
cosmologists. Right. So that blog is nice, but they don't actually do cutting-edge research on the blog. They tend to explain ideas from physics in ways that laymen can understand. And so as a result, their blogs are much more popular than ours in terms of number of readers and a lot more posts.
Can you say a bit about the number of readers that you have?
I don't keep track of the number of readers. We know how many people post things, but I don't pay attention to the number of, you can make a little software thing that keeps track of hits, so we don't do that.
I don't make a big count, but at times when we are actively discussing things, like not going on myself on conference and not doing anything, there are maybe 10, 12 comments a day.
About 12 comments a day. Our blog has in terms of number of blog entries per week, ours is one of the higher ones. There are lots of them that only have one entry. Especially because we like to talk a lot, because there's three of us doing it.
It's more the research.
But the number of people reading it is, I think, much smaller. And those more popular blogs, they have a lot of people who are non-physicists and non-mathematicians talking. And the conversation rambles much more there.
I see.
And it's a different it's serving a different purpose. It's very good. It's a great way for people to learn about physics. But we're just doing something a little different.
Many blogs are run like another kind of journal, right? Like a journalist would do.
Right.
Report on all kinds of things, and that's, I think, not what we're doing. So for me, don't get much traffic.
Can you answer something about kind of the implications for research ethics that research blogs kind of come up with? Because, I mean, issues like, for example, say a silent anonymous reader who didn't actually engage in any blog conversation were to pick up some valuable information from the blog, write the paper, and obviously not reference it because he had no need to, or no one would ever find out that he had read your ideas, and how would you, there are issues like that can crop up with research blogs. I mean, do you have anything to say about the ethics of ethical issues?
This hasn't happened yet. so you probably have a lot more to say about it than when.
Yeah.
I'm sure someday something like that will happen, and then we'll get to see what happens.
Let me just say one thing, maybe.
Earth has a philosophy.
Yeah. I'm probably crazy. I don't really think about should I, should I not, I just feel like doing it. And,
hang out. Well, my theory is that what Earth is doing is Earth figures that he can generate ideas so much faster than anyone else can possibly catch up with them.
Well, that's just something that I would rather like somebody to catch up the idea. I would throw that idea away like a ball and it come back to me.
Yeah,
and see, everybody's afraid of hiding his ideas.
Sure.
And, but see, I've posted all this stuff to this blog, and now I come to this conference and get 4 hours talking about what I've been doing, and people approach me, oh, now that I've heard your talk, I finally understand what you're talking about. So, it isn't really the problem of giving away too much information. The problem is really of giving away too little. I mean, it's a very sophisticated thing, but I mean, it's very esoteric stuff, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not that you say that paragraph. It's not like reading the lottery number, right?
Right.
But that's the next number.
No, it's very hard to say. You can't. It's very hard to give away ideas that require knowing both string theory and category theory to do anything with it, right? So you can tell someone, like, I could tell you some wonderful fact I have learned, like, heto-elliptic cohomology is to study vector two bundles where the two category in question is the category not of two vector spaces, but of phi modules, and then the string two group has a natural representation in there.
Yeah.
So, like, you're giving away a precious piece of information, but how many people in the world are ever going to know what to do with that?
And every time there's somebody mentions something about time currency, they say something, I say, yeah, but we also have five. Now I get this talk, I talk only about this, and you're fast company, and says, but what you're doing is not what we are doing. And I say, it is precisely this. You're using primary sensitivity. So it's a important piece of information which people didn't take out. But maybe I'm just not explaining it.
Well, to really. Yeah, I'm going to spend a whole bunch of time trying to figure out how to explain things, and it takes a lot of work to convey ideas in a way that people can easily pick them up. If someone wants to learn about something, they can go after it and find out about it. But if they're just sitting there and you tell them something that they're not expecting, almost always it'll just bounce right back off them unless you work really hard to do things like first get them interested in it and things like that.
You're an expert in the art of...
I try to be an expert in that, and I don't do too much of this on Ben Category Cafe, actually. When I was in Tied Up Physics Research, I put a lot of work into making my quizzes very fun and, like, pretending to be fictional characters and telling stories and things, because I was trying very hard to get as many people involved, but partially because I don't really want to have flame wars and moderation problems on the Category Cafe. So far, I've deliberately refrained from being very inviting on the Category Cafe. And sometimes I feel like I'd like to change and do more fun things, but sometimes I think maybe that should be on some other blog if it's going to be like that, like popularizing science.
Right.
Okay. So far, I managed to stay on the blog, and only the people who are actually interested in whatever possible what I'm saying, like relations between higher categories and computation or something like that.
Right,
it's not the kind of thing that most people get excited about.
How do you see this expand going into the future, say, interacting with the Category Cafe? I mean, what is your vision for this week's fund for the next 10 years or something?
I'm sort of confused about it now because, I'm going to keep writing it. I love writing it. It's one of the few things that I always enjoy writing. Paper is always, when you're about 3/4 done, it starts becoming really work and you have to sort of suffer. But the great thing about this week's fund is I don't need to do anything I don't want to do. So it's very easy and fun.
Right.
But I do worry about it in various ways. I'm always worrying about who is my audience. I always try to make the audience be very variable where I start out with things that are really easy to understand, like pretty pictures or fun facts, and then slowly
yeah,
as we go down, it gets harder and harder.
Right,
and
I figure
that some people will, at least some, maybe some people will always read the first three paragraphs and then fifth, you know, so that different people can get different things out of them. But I'm finding it, so I started out writing them just purely in ASCII back in the days of news groups. And then I started doing web version 2, which requires turning them into HTML. So to some extent, I have a script for that, but I also need to do a lot of things by hand.
Right.
In particular, like there's still a lot of pictures drawn in ASCII there.
Two diagrams in ASCII.
Yeah. So then at some point, I decided, okay, now I'm going to actually really start using photographs in the web version. I've been trying to keep a low bandwidth approach.
Okay.
But so now I still have the ASCII version without pictures, and I have the web version with pictures. And now, though, there's this other possibility, which would be that I could also do a version either at the End Category Cafe or somewhere else where I could use equations in text. So I'm not using that.
Yeah.
And I don't want to really be writing three different versions of the same thing. It's already taken me quite a lot of time just to do all the processing. So far, I'm just sort of announcing them at the End Category Cafe and having a link.
It kind of works, though.
I think it works.
Yeah.
But I'm actually have been learning about some new mathematics typesetting systems on the web, so that maybe on my own computer I could have math symbols
I see
in the street signs and other places easily. And then that would be the next generation. And then I might like hire a work study student or something, sometimes to go back through all the old ones and update them and make them look nicer. Occasionally publishers ask me if I want to turn them into a book. And I always say that I don't really want to turn them into a book because, well, they want me to turn them into a book because they'll make money off of it. But writing a book in mathematics, it doesn't make the author very much money.
Yeah, 10%. It's just a money thing.
I mean, they would probably sell, and so they would make money, but I wouldn't make much money.
Right.
And the book would basically be less useful than the web version, because the web version now has links to the papers on the archive.
Right.
So that's, I think, useful that you can read about things and just jump over there. But if you had a book, it wouldn't be as... It wouldn't have that, and then to make it interesting, you'd have to do something else instead. So that's just too much work.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so the final question, how do you feel the mathematics and the physics string theory establishment views your blog? Are there any hard feelings in some courses, or old school, or...
I don't really know. You might know a little bit. Chuck Dissler's, I don't know, a hardcore string theorist. He's the one who got the blog, provided the technical infrastructure for it. I don't know what that
is. What I mean is, trying to get at is that a lot of people will feel that research blog is just not, you know, mathematicians should be stuck in an office and do their things silently until finally they send off their paper in an envelope to the journal. And
okay, well, that's mathematicians, that's not the thing.
Right, okay. Well, I mean, from both of you, just any kind of vibe that you picked up from certain courses that would rather have you shut down than actually keep you going.
I don't think anyone ever said that.
No, I don't receive any messages like that.
I've never heard any.
But I guess nobody, I mean, people aren't interested in it, they won't send you an email, please stop that blog. But people who are interested in it, they give you feedback. So what I found an advantage is that I come to some places, like I'm on some conference or something, and there's some guy I've never met before, he approaches me or she approaches me and says, hey, I know you from your blog, I like reading your blog, or I don't like reading it, or whatever,
right.
But they know me and
gives you a good introduction.
Yeah, they sort of know what I'm thinking about and we can immediately talk about something. But
so what are we?
Yeah.
Okay.
A week ago, I was in Göttingen, I guess, at a lecture that Michael Hopkins gave. I've never met him before. Anyway, I was standing in the hall and he approached me and said, you're a Schreiber, I'm reading your blog.
That's great.
And
that's
really cool.
So I like that. And that's an advantage for me,
right.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of benefits from writing Mystic Finds, but basically seems that almost every place I go, there are not musicians who know about that.
Right.
And I've also got a lot of benefits from when I write about things. I get email from people correcting me, telling me other interesting things. So it's a great way to learn about a lot of things. It's just to post articles about
things. Well, that's certainly the
I
could have just titled these things and paste them on Death Small or something. I mean, just but the reason for putting them out there is that
you want
to have other things to look at it. There are people like Bruce Bartlett out there who actually read this and they come up with interesting comments.
Yeah.
And it really helps a lot.
Yeah. All three of us, or David and I, we are sort of pushing some new kind of way of thinking about mathematics and physics, which is a very categorical way of thinking about a large bunch of ideas in math and physics, which I'm very excited about because I see how much potential it has. But also, it's sort of interesting that we're also simultaneously pushing a new idea of how to communicate ideas.
Right.
And the combination is sort of really, really interesting, actually.
Yeah.
It's sort of funny to be simultaneously doing new kinds of math and physics, but also doing it in a new way. I think that's sort of an exciting combination.
And I think also the combination, like you said at the very beginning, what's the relation between philosophy and math and physics? So it's kind of a nice coincidence, right, that there were really three persons.
Right.
I mean, that's coincidence. I didn't look for next other people. There's David being a philosopher, yes.
Uh-huh.
I would come myself as a physicist originally, and John suddenly being the mathematician again. So it's really, I like to think of that triangle. It's very nice, you know. It's a good thing.
Okay.
I think it'll keep being very interesting. There are lots of people who read it who are too shy to post anything, so I think hopefully some of them will become less shy. And
from time to time I receive emails, they say, I have read that actually by you, here's a comment, and I think, let's make this comment on the blog because I might not know the answer or the whatever,
right.
So I comment on it, but somewhere out there it happens, it's some expert, I mean there are one or two guys around the world who read this and it says, this is completely wrong, that's when you get an accident again, that's completely off the subject. So by sending all these messages just by email, they sort of get...
So you prefer them to post anonymously or something like that?
Yeah, I certainly do,
So I when I get emails from people, if they say something interesting, I often ask them, is it okay if I post it on the blog for you?
Right.
Yeah. And they usually say yes. And so then I...
Right, but they have this agreement with Jim. Jim Stuttgart, right? He had some problems with his equipment, reading or posting the blog, so he kept sending the emails. And they just, whatever you find interesting, just forward it to the blog. So many of the messages by Jim were actually posted. I can just input his email address.
I see.
Still do that, or does he
From time to time, he posts himself.
Well, you can see the difference if it's all written in lowercase or big.
Anyway, that's fine with me. That's great.
Yeah.
If you say, okay, for some reason I can't post it, but if you'd like to follow it.
Sure. No, I mean it's great having him having his post there. It's very smart. He's a serious mathematician.
Okay.
He loves to communicate with people. He's constantly sending emails to hundreds of people.
So if you're asking for advantages, for instance, we were talking about that supergravity, Lee, algebra, and I wanted
to write a paper with you about that, but I'm so busy that I don't know what to do.
And anyway, I was trying to do something with that Lee algebra, and in order to do that, I needed to recall other things I've done in my thesis and I read in John's papers and I of these three different algebras. So at some point I said, I'm forgetting all these things, so I was just toughly remembering them. Just for my own convenience, I created a file in which has become that three different algebra laboratory, right? So I typed in all these examples that I could come up with just to remind myself what was actually going on. And because everything I thought I wanted, share with somebody.
Yeah.
So I linked to that. And I was completely surprised to quite a bit later, but at some point Jim came across and I wasn't aware that there would be anything in there that would be of interest, you know, to a wide audience. I thought I just summarized things that were sort of known, even if scattered maybe. But he actually told me that he thinks that I'm writing a paper with him now about this script. I didn't even know that this is anything worth publishing. I mean, for me, it was just a means to get to that V3 out there, the super address.
Right.
And having all these examples sort of stepping stones. So for me, this was a great kind of information. Like, it was even before you arrive at the point where you want to arrive, it can be of interest already. I wouldn't have thought about it. I mean, not to be of a great practice in such a
Okay. Okay, right on that positive note, so in the interview. Thanks, guys.